set your calendars, mark your calendars, do whatever you got to do to your calendars to come out to our Lord Make Us One 2018 Spring Revival. Revival dates are Tuesday, May 15th through Friday, May 18th at 7 p.m. nightly, and Sunday, May 20th at 6 p.m. Each weeknight, we'll be blessed with a word from God preached by these Sons of the Bethel Deliverance International Church family. Pastor Kevin Washington, Pastor Brian Weatherspoon, Pastor Tim Baldwin, and Pastor Jason Sproul. On Sunday evening, join us for an impactful word from our pastor, Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. Services will be held at the Bethel Deliverance International Church Main Sanctuary, located at 2929 West Shelnam Avenue, Winco, PA, 19095. For more information, call 215-885-2585 or visit us via the internet at betheldeliverance.org.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Now, listen, why am I saying this? Because the enemy is bringing lies and saying, oh, you just a feminine man. No, that's an oxymoron. No such thing as a feminine man. This is how one recognizes the Spirit of God. Every spirit, listen, that denounces the Lordship of Jesus, that means over your body, over your life, over your relationships, anything that Jesus needs to be involved in and you denounce it, that's the Antichrist. Do you give him lordship over area of your life, or are there some areas that are sacred and you don't want him to touch? Is Jesus the Lord of your television diet? What if he came to you at 6 a.m. and said, I'm going to spend the day with you. Don't change a thing. Can you take him where you were going to go? Can you watch what you would normally watch? Or would you have to call somebody and say, I can't make it today. Jesus is going to be with me, so y'all going to have to go along without me. I'll take him right into Best Buy and tell him, touch the manager. I want that TV right there. Go over and, hallelujah, turn the water into wine and give him a whole lot of wine so I can get that set. Because if you're really living for him, if you have not been beguiled by the false spirits that are in the world, Jesus can go with you anywhere. In fact, he cannot trust you with large assignments if he can't trust you with small assignments. And the smallest assignment is hang out with me for the day. He says every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. And then he says this is the spirit of the Antichrist. So what is the spirit of the Antichrist? Any spirit or anything that leads you away from the lordship of Jesus. Anybody that tries to break up the sanctity of your home and marriage is not from God. You ain't got to take that. Who they think they talking to? You a child of God. Listen, you tell them, that's not of God, because God called us to be peacemakers. Now listen to this. Go to John's Gospel, chapter 10. So we understand that every spirit, John says, don't believe every spirit. Stop believing everything that comes to you. Try it. Test it. John chapter 10, verse 6. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand. I'm reading from the Living Bible. Didn't understand what he meant. So he explained it to them. I am the gate for the sheep. All others who came before me were thieves and robbers. But the true sheep did not listen to them. Hear that? If you are really born again, listen to me carefully. If you are really born again, you are not seducible. You ought to rejoice. Because he said, my sheep hear my voice and they don't follow strangers. Now, the way you can know someone is not right, that's where we kind of mess up, because there are intuitive responses. There's intuition that you develop from living a certain amount of time. and depending upon where you live. Inner city people are more intuitive about the propensity of violence in somebody. Why? Because we've come up in that area, in that lifestyle, in that surrounding, where we kind of know if we see certain people hanging out on the corner near the stores or near places that are where you're going to be vulnerable. Not to suggest that everybody there is a criminal, but your antenna goes up. You just watch a little differently. If you're in the store and people come in and stand behind you, you kind of watch. You know, you send the message. I know you here. Without even saying it, you send the message. And something in you begins to reach or do a threat assessment. You become hypervigilant and you start looking. Everything becomes a weapon. The salt shaker, the you know, everything. Because you're like, okay, I don't know what these people are doing. But, you know, hey, all right. So what is that? That vigilance. Where does it come from? It comes from intuition. It comes from your upbringing, from understanding that violence is possible. And so you immediately go on the defense and your body begins to adjust to it. And your adrenaline gland, your adrenals begin to push out adrenaline and your body, your muscles begin to expand and your eyes, the pupils open up because you want to let more light in. And you're starting to feel this rush of supernatural physical power because you anticipate there's the possibility of something happening. So what it's called clinically is fight or flight. You either get enough strength to fight or enough strength to run. Well, the same thing happens in the spirit realm. When you sense that something ain't right, every spiritual nerve in you stands up and your mind begins to start spouting out scripture and warfare becomes a reality. In fact, your vision of Jesus even changes from the Lamb of God to the warrior on the horse. You begin to prepare yourself. Your speech changes. You don't even hear what people are saying around you because you're focused in on what the Holy Spirit is saying as you anticipate this nasty devil coming at you. You are now recognizing. And God doesn't mind if you have that intuitive ability. Why? You're a child of God. And children of God are not susceptible to the devil. They rise above it. They see it coming afar off. Just like your parents. You baby boomer parents. Your parents used to tell you that child ain't no good. And you wonder. You say, oh, mom, they all right. He all right. She all right. He said, no, it's not. They ain't no good. Stop hanging around them. And sure enough, you don't listen to your parents. Keep hanging around that person. And you wind up where they are. Well, you have the same insight in spiritual things. You know that there's some things that God does not want you to do. You don't need a preacher to tell you. It's just inside of you. God says, don't go that way. Don't go here. I know the end from the beginning. My sheep hear my voice. Glory to God. Jesus said, yes, I am the door. I'm the gate, verse 9. Those who come in by way of me will be saved, and they'll go in and out. See there? You'll go in and out and find pasture, nourishment. That means wherever you are, God is going to nourish you. Hear me. All of us can at times fall out of the will of God because we tend to chase the Trojan horse. We chase what looks good. We chase what appeals to our flesh. And God is not above allowing us to catch what we chase sometimes so that it will humble us, so that it will cause us to realize that God is not giving us everything we want. So we're going to get burned by things. We're going to lose some things. But never will we lose our relationship. Even if we find ourselves outside of the will of God, we serve a God who will go with us even in that negative situation, because the thing cannot change him. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you slip up and do something that you should not do, Jesus is standing there. Notice he said, where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. So when you find yourself on the outs with the will of God, don't give up. Don't walk away and say, well, I'm out here now. I might as well leave. Heck no. Fight. Fight. It's Some of you may find your husband or wife has invited someone else into your relationship. Don't give up. Fight. Not physically. Because I know some of you, but I cut that hussy's head. No, I ain't talking about that. I mean, fight for your relationship. Don't let the devil bust up your home. Yes, you'll be inconsolable for a while, but get over it. Been together for 20, 30 years and one little dalliance, and now you ready to end the whole thing. Heck no. You don't even have to confront the devil that they were with. Do you think that God gives up on you and I when we fall into sin? No. He says, I'm going to love you back into the fold. I'm going to love you so much that you're going to give up that false spirit. I'm going to love you so much till you stop chasing that desire. When I'm done loving you, you ain't even going to want that no more. That was the whole message behind Hosea. God said, Hosea, go out and marry a prostitute. Go on and get yourself a pro. He drove over into Camden and went up and down the road, went to Atlantic Avenue and found himself a pro. Brought her into the house, sired two children. We know he sired the first one. We're not sure about the second one. But Hosea took them both in. When she left him, because he wasn't a party man, so she said, I can't be with no boring person. I love him, but I ain't in love with him. So she went back to the bar, and Hosea was glad. She gone. Hallelujah. God said, go get her. Hosea went to the bar. Her pimp said, who you looking for? He said, I come for my wife. He said, yeah, well, she in here with me now. So you got to pay 15 pieces of silver to get her back. And Hosea paid it because God said, that's how I am with the children of Israel. They are chasing after other gods. They are forsaking me and going after things of the flesh. But I'm not giving up on you. I'm calling you to come back to me. Let me help you. Let me strengthen you. Let me forgive you. Let me love you. Those who come in by the way of the door will be saved. Hardship should not keep you away. That's warfare. Paul tries to address this in Romans chapter 8. He gives us at the end of that great chapter two distinct views on love. First, he says, what can separate me from the love of God? And then he lists a bunch of things. He says, famine, pestilence, peril, sword. Those are the things that happen to me in my life. What Paul is saying, is there anything that can come in your life that keeps you from loving God? No. But then he flips the script. He says, angels, principalities, things that you and I have no power over. He says, but yet they're in God's realm. Here's what he's saying. Nobody can stop God from loving us. No matter who it is, no devil, no angel, nobody can keep God from loving me. God will love me when I'm up. He'll love me when I'm down. He'll love me when I'm holy. He'll love me when I've fallen into sin. He'll love me when I'm in church. He'll love me when I'm in the bar. He'll love me when I'm in the market. He'll love me when I'm in the casino in Vegas. He will love me. That ought to make you happy. Nothing we can do will stop God from loving us. He will love us through our foolishness. If you take somebody to a hotel, Jesus will lay in that bed with you. Somebody you ain't married to, he'll lay right there with you. And while the two of you knocking boots, he'll be right in that bed with you saying, don't you know I love you? Don't you know this is below you? Don't you know this ain't what you're supposed to do? And you won't have the joy you think you're supposed to have, because the conviction of the love will be greater than the feeling in the flesh. Let me get off of that now. Any first-time visitors? Nah. Ah, glory to God. Now, let's go on now. So how does this start? Jesus says in John 10, he says, my purpose in verse 10 is to give life in all its fullness. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I submit to you that we are not living the abundant life. Here's why. Nobody taught you what it was. The most you heard was gusto. That's beer commercial. Then we were duped into believing that the abundant life meant abundant finances, new cars, new houses, new women, new men. No. The abundant life has nothing to do with materialistic gain. But then Jesus says, the thief's purpose, speaking of the devil, because he is a thief, a no good scalawag. The Bible calls him the accuser, the adversary. And his task is to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. And herein lies the fundamental basis of the warfare. Satan's trying to kill you. You walk around traipsing through minefields acting like nothing's going to happen to you. The devil's trying to kill you. He'll try to kill you through your health declining. That's why the Bible gives you a certain way to eat. That's why the Bible tells you to rid yourself of stress. That's why the Bible tells you to get rid of bitterness. Because those things, bitterness and unforgiveness connected, will affect your health. All of you sad, deep Christians, you are subjected to getting sick and contracting diseases that cannot be cured outside of Jesus. Because the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. If you can't smile, you need to be saved. Lord, help me. I wish I had a church that could understand. Listen to me. I smile sometimes for no reason. You know why? Because I'm going to heaven. I have to ask God to help me sometimes because sometimes I encounter fools that I know that are going to hell. And they say things to me that are injurious to my mood at the moment. But I do not let that affect me. I just smile. What you smiling for, Reverend? Because you're going to hell and I'm not. Now, I ain't smiling because they're going to hell. I'm smiling because I'm not. Now, if you're born again, you ought to smile for just that. Some of you lived in areas where you could not wait to get out of. And when you got out of it, you smile when you go home on the bus. You don't have to run from the bus stop to your door. You just a smile and praise God. Hallelujah. Well, that's how you ought to feel with your salvation. You cannot come under the condemnation of the devil no more. Even if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Even if we mess up, if we confess it, he is faithful and just to forgive us. We are not going to hell. That ought to make you dance. That ought to make you shout. That ought to make you scream. You ought to let the devil know, no matter what you do to me, you can't take me to hell. Now. God can't understand. God can't understand why we walk around sad and dismayed. My godson and I went to Disney a few weeks ago on a bachelor trip. He hadn't been in a while, so he and I said we going without the women. I'm not looking over there. I'm looking over here. You're going without the women. And so when the plane landed, you know, I still get excited every time we start our descent into Orlando Airport. And Darius was just as nonchalant as could be. And you know, I said, well, what? Boy, don't you? He said, Dad, it ain't like we ain't never been here before. I said, well, you haven't been for 4 years. I mean, come on. And so we went through. He tried to fake some stuff, you know, to get us through the airport. Then when we reached over, got over to the Magic Kingdom, and he just didn't seem to have a whole lot of joy. He's older now. You know how you get. He's in that difficult age, you know, when you think you knew everything, find out you don't, but too proud to say you don't. So you just kind of hold it in. So he was just kind of, not sad, but not as jubilant as me. And so I said, boy, what's wrong with you? I said, you in Disney now. You know, and that's what God is saying. What's wrong with you? You're saved now. Why are you still looking like you lost in a dangerous neighborhood, looking like you live in Lebanon? Get yourself together. Your life with God is Waikiki Beach. So you get a hurricane every now and then. You still in Hawaii. That means into each life you get a little difficult stuff. You're born again. The key to warfare is having joy. In the 13th century, the Cossacks came from the Ukraine. And the Cossacks were a very jubilant people, even when going into battle. They would get drunk and sing before they went into battle. And when their friends died, they would gather together and sing and drink their friends into hell. That's exactly what they said. We're going to drink our buddies into hell. They were under no illusions of going to heaven, but they sang. Warriors in those days used to sing. Klingons sang. You never found the Federation singing. But Klingons always sang. The Bible is full of verses that tell us to sing. Why? Warfare for us has already been determined. We sing from a victorious position. We sing when we don't even have a song. We make one up. We just sing. Talk about I can't sing. Then just make a joyful noise. Why? I'm in warfare. Why are you singing? Because I'm in warfare. The devil's not expecting you to sing. When Jehoshaphat heard that the nations were coming against him, he began to pray, and he got the whole nation to come to God in prayer. God sent a prophet and said, all right, don't worry about this. In short, he's saying, I got this. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get everybody together and then march on down, because you're going to come up against them in the cliffs of Ziz. He said, but don't worry about it, because the Lord's going to fight this battle. All you got to do is show up. You're the cheerleading section. So Jehoshaphat got everybody together, put the best soldiers out front, and the prophet said, no. Put the soldiers in the back. Put the choir out front. Whenever you attack the devil, you don't need the warfare of the flesh. Just go to singing a song. Didn't we learn this in the book of Acts when Paul and Silas were bound up in prison and the Bible said they were in stocks? That means chains around their hands and feet. But the devil was so stupid, he forgot to bind their mouths. He can bind your hands, but if he don't bind your mouth, sing a praise. Those boys started singing a praise. God didn't just deliver them, but everybody else in that prison. When you sing your song of deliverance, you can get other people free. Hey, when you go, this warfare is so personal. See, the devil, he targets us. That's what's given to us over in the book of Job in chapter 1. It says here in verse 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Where are you coming from? And Satan said, from going up and down the earth and to and fro. And the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and avoids evil. And Satan says, does Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. What a testimony. Listen to this. I know this is not the actual text for us, but I just have to go here for a moment. You can be so blessed that the devil knows it. I don't know if you ever saw this verse before, but the devil knew how blessed this man was. He said, God, you blessed him on every hand, and you increased him in the city. That's the testimony I want. I want my testimony to be so good that the devil said, I can't mess with that boy. He blessed. And I can't even get to him without God allowing me. Somebody ought to say amen. Somebody ought to say amen. He says, but put forth your hand now, verse 11, and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said, behold, all he has is in your power. Only upon his body don't touch. He says, so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. There are some particular facts you need to understand in warfare. Number one, God is sovereign in all things. Amen. God is sovereign in all things. Are you hearing me? God is sovereign in all things. Do you get that? God is sovereign. That means he's in control of whatever comes to you. Y'all think Donald Trump's in control because he's the president. The Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. And if we 2 Chronicles 7:14 that man, if we turn from our wicked ways, if we humble ourselves and pray, God can touch that man and have him get up and say, I'm putting prayer back into school. And won't know why he said it. If one ungodly woman can get it out, somebody said, why isn't prayer back in the school? Because Christians don't care. They just move their kids to Christian schools. Let me move on. The second truth is that Satan has access to God's throne. See, you thought that when Satan was thrown out in Ezekiel and Isaiah, that he could never get back to God. God lets him come visit. Steve Harvey was on TV once, and he said, my friends keep asking me, why did I move out the hood? He said, because y'all would break in and steal. So why should I give you access to my stuff? You think God is influenced by the devil, that giving Satan access to his throne, you think that diminishes the power and the holiness of God? No. All the other angels look at him. They don't pay him no mind. If Satan were to manifest himself right here in church, two-thirds of you would run out. The other third would probably bow and worship. Like that deacon that I told you about before that sat up on the front row and Satan manifested in church. And he came and he was, I'm Satan. Everybody got up and ran out the church. The deacon sat right there, crossed his legs and looked at him. He said, I'm Satan. He said, yeah, And he said, aren't you afraid? He said, no, I've been married to your sister for 37 years. I didn't say that. Somebody sent that to me. Some of us, the devil just drops us off at church and goes back home because we're going to pick right up as soon as we get back. He still has access to the throne of God. The third most important part of this war is that God finds no fault with his servant. But watch this. Satan did find fault with this man. Let me give it to you in a more colloquial sense. God says he fears me and avoids evil. He lives for me. Satan says, you can't get people to live for you unless you do good stuff for them. You have given him all this stuff. You blessed him and increased him. Of course he's going to serve you. Of course he's going to live for you. Look at all you've done for him. He still makes the same claim today. Only difference is God can't find too many jobs. Lord, I love you from the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul. I love you until the rain comes, until the snow falls. Till I can't get a ride. Satan tries every area. He went back to God and God said, no. That's not this man's testimony. Go and take all his stuff. What would happen if God let the devil take your stuff? Can we stand when we lose a loved one? Can you trust him when you lose your job or if you get a bad report from the doctor? Do you lose your faith when it's not what you thought it should be? Do you panic and begin to assume that God doesn't love me? I've done everything I'm supposed to do. God, why you let this happen to me? But you ever notice that if you go and everything's good, you never say, God, why did you let me get a good report? We never question good. We only question bad. Or, let me strike that, we only question what we perceive to be bad. For the testimony of Joseph in the book of Genesis is, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God said, go ahead, take everything, take it away. Satan, his name means adversary. That means he's going to come against everything the word of God says. He's going to try to get you to think that God does not care about you, that the things that you are going through for the moment are going to be with you forever, and we adopt them in our minds. Once we adopt that philosophy, we then lose hope. We start living our lives under the specter of hopelessness and despair. You ever notice that the animal kingdom, we learn a lot from the animal kingdom, and Jesus often uses animals to illustrate truths of God, and God does the same thing throughout the Bible. And when especially in the book of Proverbs, when he talks about the industriousness of the ant and things like that, then Jesus talks about the faith that's demonstrated with the bird, and God talks about the sheep and their ability to stray, but yet come back when they are sought because they don't have the instinct to come back. Once they stray, they keep straying because the reason they stray is they find greener grass. There is a philosophy called the law of helplessness. And what that means is that you can perceive a situation through such a negative view that you feel that you are incapable of changing it. So you simply submit to whatever is happening. we find that many women in abusive relationships have that particular spirit. It's just a feeling of helplessness. They just take the beating. And they say, there's no way out of it. Hopefully he'll change. I can't find a way. It's called the battered woman syndrome. She just can't get out. She's just helpless in that situation. Well, if you notice with animals, you bring a mouse in here. And you put the mouse on the floor. And you go after the mouse will run. They're not going to stand around and let you squash them. Now, mice are extremely, extremely habitual. They will always run back to the hole that they came in. They will never try to find a new hole. So even if you close the hole that they came in, they will keep going back there and hiding until that egress is open again. But they won't stand around and let you hit them. Now, caterpillars, when you go to kill a caterpillar, he'll just curl right up and lay right there till you kill them. They don't fight back. They just curl up and do nothing. Well, those are the two types of Christians. When Satan comes at the mouse Christian, they run around and you ain't getting me, devil. You ain't getting me. I'm going right back to where I lost the Lord. I'm going right back to my praise and worship, right back to Bible school, right back. I'm not going. And if you close that off, I'm going to keep coming back until that door is open again. Then there's the caterpillar Christian. At the moment they go through, they just curl up and die and stay home. I ain't going back to church no more. People don't like me. The saints talk about me. You got that spirit of helplessness. Well, that ain't me. God didn't make us to lay there and die. We're like those four lepers in the book of 2 Kings. We say, why should we sit here and let the devil get the better of us when God has blessings for us on the other side of this negative situation? The negative situation just lets us know that something better is out there. My best days are ahead, not behind me. My age does not dictate my blessing. God's got something better for me, and by God, I'm gonna get it. You think just cause you 60, 65, 70, you think your life is over. The devil is a lie. Tell you like Miyagi told Daniel, your best karate is still inside. Now time to let it out. Now your testimony. Now it's time to let the devil know. All these years I've been storing up the word of God. All these years I've been fasting and praying. All these years I've been singing and believing God. Now the trial has come. Now I'm going to show you, devil, it didn't fall on deaf ears. Now I'm going to show you that weeping may endure for the night, but I got a more coming. When you understand the warfare here in this first chapter, it's telling us that what God is doing is he's using us to prove to the devil that everybody ain't serving him for what they can get. Y'all better hear this. He's saying to the devil, listen, you think what you want to think. Go on, take everything that boy has and watch what he does. When he took everything that Satan had, took his children away, his cattle away, his livestock, his property, they came to him and said, everything you had is gone. They were expecting him to melt down and leave the church. He said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Saints of God, I'm going to tell you something by divine revelation. When he made that statement, God's chest went out another 4 feet. He said, look at my boy. Look at my boy. So when Satan came back, God said, have you considered Job? He said, you made me move my hand against him, but he's still standing with me. Satan said, all right, yeah, that's just stuff. But let me touch his hair. Let me touch his body. You know how people are with their looks. Let me put a zit right on the end of his nose and see if he comes to church. Let him let all his hair fall out and see if he still gives you worship. Let something happen to his body. God said, go. Do everything you want, but you can't kill him. Life belongs to God. Satan came down and hit that man with shingles, so to speak. He had these things on him that, oh my God, they were so horrible that he had to scrape them off. And his wife came over. She said, curse God and die so I can get me some young, good-looking stallion. I can't be hanging around you. You all messed up. He said, woman, you talk like a foolish one. He said, now we receive good at God's hand. He said, now it's my season for bad stuff to come. That's how we should enter warfare. I'm going through right now, but it doesn't mean I'm to build the house there. I'm going through this thing. This is just temporary because there's something great on the other side. And when God was finished with this man, the end of his story was God gave him everything he lost and doubled for his trouble. Isaiah, God said, I'm going to give you double for your trouble. Everything that you go through on your battle, in your warfare, lift your hands and give him praise because God is going to give you double. Like Daniel in Daniel 10, when the angel came to him, he said, I'm coming for your words. Are you hearing me? That means that you get angelic support when you talk right. Tell your neighbor, talk right. See, that you're not getting angelic support with these people getting on my nerves. Y'all make me sick. This ain't happening. I can't believe. No. You ain't getting no angelic support. You ain't getting no angelic support when you say, I'm hanging in there. I know it's tough, but I'm doing the best I can. No. You've got to talk right because the angel said he came for Daniel's words. That means that you've got to say, listen, this little thing, this light affliction is going to be off me. And when I come out, I'm going to shine like pure gold. I may not be able to discover the will of God. I might not know where he is, but he knows the way I'm taking. And though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. No weapon that is formed against us will ever prosper. Behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the devil. You are able to step on scorpions, tread on serpents, and you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You will speak with new tongues, and bless God, you can raise the dead. And these things that come against you will not be able to stay. 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. One can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. Many of the people of God to do exploits.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
2418A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.